commitment items, you mean?
Yes. Well, they are related, commitments to six items in the letter to give some elaboration on that. So, first of all, the first item is increasing student numbers, and please, Gabriel, you're the first one to start.
All right. The question was answered, but not publicly, so I'll ask again. How can this university get grips on the number of different groups of students that enroll, and are we able to adapt to the capacity of the teachers and facilities sufficiently quick to the current changes? That is the first question. Thank you.
Yeah, especially that word grip, that scares me a lot, I have to say. Because if there's one thing that I have learned over the last 6 years within this university is to get a grip on student influx, that is something that is quite an animal life, I have to admit. Because indeed, like I explained before, that is something that is clearly dependent on very many factors and only partly manageable, if I may call it that way. As stated before, the growth that we foresee is that in 2023 we may, so that is very conditional, but potentially we may end up with a student number of 14,500. And that is basically an extrapolation of all kinds of trends that we have seen over the last couple of years, and which indicate that indeed it could end there. That said, that will not imply that we will bank fully on that number, because it's very much depend on all kinds of factors that indeed are beyond our control. One of the more important things is what is actually the desired balance between various kinds of students. One of the things that we would like to stress is that we would, if there's any growth, we would like to accommodate that as much as possible within the master education, because that we feel as a research university that is more important for us than bachelor education. Also, we believe that there is a certain balance within this university between national EU and non-EU students, also given the fact that those students also come with certain characteristics. For example, students from outside the EU, if they decide to do a master education here, then for example, in terms of percentages, they stay on in the Netherlands quite considerably more than other students, which is actually a surprise, but it has to do with the fact that quite often they then have really chosen for a career in the Netherlands. And that then again is, for example, important for especially the demand that we get for talent from companies and from wherever, and something that therefore is something that we would like to accommodate. In terms of influx, and that is not the same as the way that the entire population is being built up, because influx is obviously something that in the end will result in a certain balance, but also with the fact that certain groups at a certain point then flow out again, or they leave, or they whatever they're going to do. That in terms of influx, we feel that between national and international students, that should be around 50-50, which basically is, so we would not like to change that balance. And in terms of bachelor students, we feel that the optimum balance would be 60-30-10. 60 Netherlands, 30 EU, 10 non-EU. And all kinds of ways to steer that. And frankly, I could go into detail now. Maybe that's also part of a more extensive and elaborate discussion that we should have at another point of time, and not in now within this in this budget discussion, but something that indeed we will also have to try out to see what kind of measures we would like to implement, or to at least try out to make sure that indeed we get that grip, or as far as we can get the grip.
Yeah.
I do agree with the reasoning. I think it's, I understand it. I agree with it as well. I personally don't understand how we can do this. So, for example, we want half-time and non-new students, but we not sure what the legal terms, we cannot reject students if they meet the requirements. So basically, if more students apply, how do we do that? Sorry, I don't.
Yeah, no, I understand your question, but it's precisely also the reason why my answer is not very obvious, because frankly, for a part, we also don't know.
Yeah.
And indeed, there are legal considerations. And that said, even certain measures may work, but also may actually work against you. And a rule, for example, a good example is, for example, if you would like to balance out the number of non-EU students, one of the things that you could do is, for example, increase the fee, the admission fee. Certain universities have done that, and what they have seen actually is an increase in the number of students that apply, because the height of the fee, apparently, in view of some students, also says something about the quality of the university.
Yeah.
And this is a clear indication of how complicated this stuff is. And it is, and what works for one university does not have to work for another university. That's, so therefore, and that's also really a discussion that we should have at an all the time, I believe, is what are we going to do? What are we going to try? What's going to work? We don't know.
So, then let's go immediately to the commitment that has been written down on this point with regard to the executive board to development a strategy that is ready before spring memorandum 2021.
I think that's okay. I just don't like the words get a grip on a well balanced, because get a grip is something that's not the intention here. We would like to have a community and diversity in community that goes with the vision on our education, research and knowledge transfer. So well balanced might have the association that we have a preferred mixture from a different starting point, and I really would like to stay away from that types of formulations. So what we could commit to, I think, would be development of a strategy of how to handle increasing student numbers, including the identification of instruments that can be used to influence a balanced population related to our vision, mission and vision.
Yeah.
And then this identification of instruments, that can be part of the Spring Memorandum, which is something different, that we already applied instruments in the Spring Memorandum and in the budget, that is also part of the Spring Memorandum. Because I think the Spring Memorandum is too early to take financial effects of these instruments into account yet.
Yes, at the same time the Spring Memorandum is due. The moment you want to have something that starts to work in 2021, you should have it ready before 1st of September 2020.
Yeah, but then I think we can agree upon the fact that we identify instruments that we might going to use. But that's about it then for the Spring Memorandum.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, then let's go to Herbert.
Yeah.
You?
I had a general comment to this point that I consciously did not include in the discussion about the point, but we discussed in the university about international students and national students, and maybe we might go as far as saying EU and non-EU. I would like to remind us all that international students is also not a homogenous group. Somebody from India is not the same as somebody from Costa Rica, is not the same as somebody from Chile. So in looking for balance, I think we need to be more conscious and more aware that if somebody comes from outside the EU, it is not one group. Whereas Dutch people are more one group than the international students. Just a general comment to keep it back in mind.
Yeah, totally agree, Jelle, but that also indicates how complicated the discussion is, and also how problematic getting a grip is, because, for example, an influx of 35 students from Ecuador, which happened, for example, last year, was also something that we did not see coming. And the question is, how desirable or non-desirable is such a phenomenon, and what you should do to accommodate that or not accommodate that. And that probably that's not something that you can arrange or even think of beforehand. And there, I guess, also the common sense sometimes is quite nice to apply.
And this exactly has to do with the fact that I don't like the word well balanced, because we do this because we would like to guarantee the well-being of the students and employees that are studying and working here. That's the starting point. And from that point of view, you need to have a certain idea about which mix makes it possible to guarantee the well-being of students and employees.
Yep.
Taking all the differences within these three main groups into account, because you have to do that if you would like to guarantee student well-being, for example.
Yep. Okay.
Then so to expand on that one, the comments that you made about non-EU students could also be made for EU students.
Yep.
Also, that is not a homogeneous mix.
Well, and I think that the difference within the group might be bigger than the difference between the Dutch and non-EU. And that's the thing to keep in mind, that
correct.
The contrast might be different than we think sometimes.
Do you want to have the executive board, because they named percentages, to have the 10% split up a little bit more?
No, that's why I did not include it in the decision.
Yeah. Okay, good. Let's go to the second point. Dick, you want to introduce that?
Yeah, okay. One of the rules of our distribution model is that if there is a difference between estimated and actual numbers of students, then at least the extra tuition fees goes to the programs which generate these extra students. For international students, it's the complete funding, but for Dutch students or European students, it's only the tuition fees, and after 2 years you also get some extra funding from the government. But since the programs are facing increasing numbers, it's completely fair and reasonable that they get at least those tuition fees to cover for the cost of education. Now, the proposal by the board is to use this money for strategic goals, but no plan is given at all. So then the question would be, for what goal does the executive board reserve this extra budget? And if there is a plan, isn't there another way of funding it?
The goal is to fund the execution of shaping 2030 goals, starting with, so to speak, low-hanging fruit. And faculties also asked us to give some direction to make sure that they can start implementing Shaping 2030 as soon as possible. Then we can do two things. We can take money out of our reserves to start implementing, and we are probably going to do that later on for larger changes that we would like to make in terms of Shaping 2030. We can also, in the year 2020, use money that we know is not going to be spent by the faculties, because it's not in our budget yet, and because the current situation is that none of the faculties have financial problems. So the idea behind this is, how can we help faculties to make sure that some of the additional money is used in line with Shaping 2030, and we know that this doesn't influence the running processes, because They are already covered in the current budget, and none of the faculties is facing financial problems. So that's the idea. I do get the point of why should you make this a central budget and not make a difference between the contribution, the different types of contributions of the faculties to this budget, because faculties that are growing faster obviously have a larger additional budget of tuition fees. And I can, I would like to do the commitment that we ask the faculties to make plans for first actions in terms of shaping 2030, using this additional budget for that. So we are not going to make it once a central budget. So we can facilitate the budget related to the growth, and they stay within the faculty that is growing the fastest or growing to a slower extent. So that might be my a solution that probably would you could agree upon.
I don't fully understand, but do you already know what kind of budget we are talking about?
No, not yet. We did make a change in the estimation, the model we used to estimate the income from tuition fees. And we already included that in the budget, which is, I think, quite an improvement in our budgeting system. Still, we have to fine-tune that based on actual influx numbers, and that's what we're doing right now. So I do not know what the total budget will be. I do know that this budget is not required in doing the activities that the faculties already mentioned in their annual plans. So that was where we got the idea, use it for shaping 2030 goals.
At what time is known what the amount is?
Probably in January.
But it's a bit strange. We don't know yet what strategy we will have, how many budget we need for the plans. This is a once in a lifetime decision about a budget which we do not know yet, and for which it seems perfectly fair to give to the programs. So. I think we better discuss the way we are creating a budget to for many years to come to accommodate our 2030 goals.
Well, that's what we already did, and this is to give. Well, that's what we do in our regular budgeting system. We did a lot of changes in the regular budget system to make sure that financial stability is guaranteed for faculties for more than 1 year ahead. And this is an additional budget that wasn't taken into account. And of course, we need to facilitate the faculties as much as possible. And at the same time, we would like to give our new strategy a good start. This is a stimulation to make sure that the faculties can start with implementing Shaping 2030, taking the steps that they think are good first steps for that specific faculty with respect to Shaping 2030 without having to rethink budgets that they already allocated. So we need to do two things, financial stability for the faculties, and at the same time give a good start to Shaping 2030, which is also something faculties really would like to do. So they're also asking us to give some direction, also in how to make sure that there is budget available to implement Shaping 2030, or at least specific types, parts of Shaping 2030.
Yeah. I would like to park this point for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. To first continue to the other point, because I don't think we'll get close to each other at this point. Well, let's first have a look how the other points will go. The third point is about the strategic collaboration, and that's for Ivo.
Thank you, Robert. Interesting to note in the budget was the fact that it mentioned that a second collaboration with the EU is planned to be set up in September 2021 concerning electrical engineering, and therefore the recruitment for this program should start in 2020. However, we as a council thought it was quite premature because the mechanical engineering program is just running since September, and there hasn't been a proper evaluation of this in our team. And therefore, we're curious, does the executive board agree that before further investment of in collaborations of this kind outside of Enschede should be based on a meaningful evaluation of previously previous executive plans and before new plans are drawn up?
I can answer this question on many levels, but let's keep it simple. There are indeed those plans are in preparation, but have not yet reached the University Council yet. As a matter of fact, only in January, we together with the VU will make an in-principle decision on whether indeed we want to continue or implement a program which would then lead to a new program or a refurbished program, because it's also one of the master programs that we would like to develop together. And by taking that decision and also preparing for the program itself, obviously we will take into account all the experiences that we have so far with the mechanical engineering program that which we execute together with the VU. On the other hand, we cannot wait with until the mechanical engineering bachelor program has rolled out completely, because that would imply that we have to wait for another 3 years, and I think that's not something that we should allow for. So there's a couple of things that we still need to decide. First of all, we and the VU together as boards need to decide whether this is the way to go forward for both this bachelor, but also for probably other forms of collaboration. Secondly, it goes without saying that if we would take such an advice, we will ask the University Council for consent, because that's the way that we do it with these kinds of collaborations. So the University Council will be in a position to give its opinion at that point of time. Thirdly, we will do, and probably that will be before consent, but it depends a little bit on the timing, we will do market research to see indeed, to check indeed, whether those plans have a basis in the market, and indeed also are attractive for students that work and live in the greater Amsterdam area. So it's that kind of considerations that we all take into account. And on top of that, going forward with mechanical engineering, everything that we learn and we see things popping up, and obviously also say things that go wrong, we will also take into account in the considerations on whether, and if yes, how we are going to go forward with that electrical engineering trajectory. Does that answer your question?
Mainly yes, but I'm quite curious, isn't the time scheme too optimistic if recruitment should start by, well, let's say September 2020. Are we in a rush to make sure everything is mostly set and done by summer 2020?
It is a tight schedule, I agree with that. On the other hand, we have now the experience with setting up one of those track strategies for mechanical engineering, so now we know what we need to know before starting with the marketing. And the good news is, you can start with your marketing without everything being in place. So the details can be sorted out over time, during the trajectory, as long as it's clear for potential students for what kind of program they apply and what would be the appearance of that program. So what would be the... Because the way we look at it now, it will not be a copy of the program as we offered here in
Okay. A final remark, I'm curious, how is the staff of the electrical engineering program currently aware of this development? Because at least we as a council quite only received it through the budget what that these plans are there.
Well, this is an initiative that is clearly driven by the faculty. That may be clear in how far the dean has had extensive discussions with the staff of electrical engineering. I'm not aware, but those will be held in due time, I'm sure about that.
Yep. So, let's go to the commitment asked from the board on this point. To first evaluate the present VUT collaboration, including business plan. So, of course, this is not the full evaluation of a completely matured mechanical engineering program, but at least lessons learned from what has been observed from how it goes from initial start to being there, having the first students, and getting to the first year. I think that is an important thing. That's especially the first semester is going to be the most problematic one. Simply having the feet on the ground in Amsterdam is going to be more difficult than once you're there.
Then the commitment should be lessons learned from strategic partnerships. Former strategic partnerships should be taken into account when starting new strategic partnerships. That would be the commitment then. And we do have a procedure already for the alignment of the university council, because you have to give consent to starting those new initiatives. So if we could agree on this type of commitment, then we're fine, I think.
You have written that down?
Yeah.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
To phrase that. Okay. Then get to the next point. That was supposed to be done by Hanneke, but the problem is she fell ill this morning, so I will have to take care of this as good as possible. That's about the change in scientific staff that we get. It's very positive that we are able to hire many staff, new staff members in the next few years. It's also good to see that these are assistant professor level. Not that we are that we have a that it's easy to find people, but it's certainly well recognized. But it also changes the way the scientific staff is structured. We go from a ratio of associate full professor to assistant professor of 1 to 1.5. That's a very different way of looking at our scientific staff. Now, what is then required is also to look at what is going to happen in 4 or 5 years' time. What is this change in build-up of scientific staff going to mean, and what kind of career path do we envision for all these personnel that we get in? Because they are certainly not all in tenure-track positions, because I hope we do not have the ambition that we have to all convert to full professors in 6 to 10 years' time, because then we can get a different structure. So we have to have an idea about this.
I would like to mention the 2 points on this point. One is you have noted that within the VSNU context, we have adopted a new policy for rewarding and evaluating career path insights, and that is a path to which we as a university feel committed, and that will have influences on career paths of scientists.
Yeah.
How that will actually work out is something that we have to work on for the next couple of months. It will be a learning experience for all universities. All universities are also going to report to each other, so this is something that we would like to take lessons of.
Yeah.
And it means that indeed we will value the various categories, not only in line up from UAD to full professor, but also to have specific experiences within the 4 categories that were being distinguished there. Research, education, impact, and the fourth category was leadership. Sorry. The second part is that this needs to be done also by the faculties. The faculties have to develop these plans, and together with the faculties we will develop these plans, but it's up to the faculties to make sure that there will be a good distribution of this mix in personnel, so that it works for the purposes that the faculties need this particular distribution.
Yep. So, I'm trying to interpret the words and try to, if I, this aligns with the commitment asked from the board, and I think they will align, because I've heard you said we are developing things in the coming half year, also together with other partner universities. So, this is indeed the commitment formulated as a vision on scientific staff structure and scientific personnel policy. And this is indeed this kind of time scheme would fit.
Like on books.
The distribution, I would not like to frame this within the frame of a distribution of staff within the particular boxes. I mean, this will be limiting us very much with respect to the strategy. But implementing a strategy on how to structure our staff in terms of a personnel policy, of making sure that personnel has growth opportunities, both laterally and vertically, that will be becoming clear in the next couple of months.
Okay. So, how would you like to rephrase what we preliminarily wrote down?
Maybe a suggestion. I think the part of the commitment that says personnel policy by May 2021 is okay.
Yeah.
But it should be based on the U3T translation of the new principles as written down in the position paper rewarding and
talent management.
Okay. Well, in Dutch, Erken en Waarderen. The position paper has a Dutch title, which is called Erken en Waarderen.
Yep.
That's the vision part, and that's the vision of the sector as a whole, not just the universities, but also the research institutions. So that's the base, and based on that, taking Shaping 2030 into account, which really aligns with this position paper, we, I think it would be good to commit ourselves to a personnel policy based on that by May 2021. Yep. And the other thing that we are stimulating right now is stimulating the faculties to come with a strategic personnel policy.
Yep.
But that, as Tom already said, should take place at the faculty level and should be a discussion with the faculty board and the faculty council.
Yep. Okay. Anything more on this item?
Yeah.
If not, then we'll have to see if we can write down something sensible in this way. Then I get to point 5, sector plan and research policy. I think.
Yeah. Maybe I will review the process of getting to these sector plans and also this 30% supplement, and then relate to it to the to the research policy and the budgets available for directing this policy in the near future. The sector plans were drawn up by the faculty deans, taking a look at the disciplinary development of their faculties. And they were composed initially for about 60 positions. Then after discussing it within the commission, it was decided that we would get funding for 45 of them, and there was a commitment by the different boards of the university to supplement that with another 30%, which is 2 million, and now we are talking about 2.5 million each year, which also includes the 500,000 which goes to BMS and ITC. Well, as I said, the plans were made up by the deans without any influence, real influence of participation. And we are confronted as a university of a policy making which is coming up from the deans of the university. I think it shouldn't be a big problem, but since we are also discussing the new strategy and also we want to have a new research policy for the years to come, then of course it should be in line with each other. Now, my first question would be, why did the board set as a condition for the 30% supplement that there should be collaboration between faculties, whereas the plans were made up by the deans for their disciplinary development? So that's a new condition, and well, maybe if you have the new research policy in place, it might be a good condition. But then, of course, you have to deviate from the original plans, which is okay with us. But then, of course, it's not the original sector plans anymore.
The condition was posed because we thought that allocating additional money to the sector plans should be reflect our university's research profile, and multidisciplinarity is key in our university research profile. It's even in our core values, which is represented in the core value synergy. So that is why we did that. It's not a condition in the sense that it should by definition mean that those additional positions should be reconsidered, fundamentally reconsidered. That's not the intention of the constraint, or the condition. The condition is meant to make sure that these sector plans, in the end, contribute to the UT research profile. And of course, the new research strategy is going to make the research profile more clear and also future-proof. But multidisciplinarity and synergy will, of course, be, and you already saw that in research vision that we discussed in the former cycle, that this is important. So we think that it is necessary to relate central strategic budget allocation to multidisciplinarity, and at the same time, it's not our intention to force the engineering faculties to rethink those 15 additional positions fundamentally. It's asking for an orientation towards these positions to make sure that they, in the end, as a whole, align to the research identity of the University of Twente.
Okay, I think we agree that allocating this large amount to the faculties so that they know what they can spend in the years to come, that is a good thing. So that starting point is okay. But then taking into consideration that we do not have an actual research policy, and also taking in consideration that the budget for the year to come is only 25% of those mm-hmm. 2.5 million. Mm-hmm. It seems reasonable to postpone the conditions for this extra money, which should go to the faculties, after completing the discussion on our research policy as a part of our 2030 policy to be implemented well, within a half a year.
I don't think so, because multidisciplinarity already is a part of a research identity, and it's not going to be a new element in research strategy. So from our point of view, this is the clear starting point, and it's something that you always should relate to spending central strategic budgets.
Okay, do you also agree that it has no real goal to make a new research policy, because evidently you already know where to spend it? And,
of course not, but a new research policy or a new research strategy obviously doesn't mean that our complete research identity will be redefined. So it's setting goals and giving course for the coming years. But of course a new research strategy won't create a new, completely new research identity. And I didn't say this because I don't think it's important to define a new research strategy. It's just a remark to make clear that multidisciplinarity at least will not change as a guiding principle for the research portfolio of the University of Twente.
And to add to that, you've seen the vision thus far for the research strategy. So the research vision is something, is a document that has been shared with you, and that also embraces this multidisciplinarity.
You know our comment, huh? Okay. So it doesn't give any direction to this to our research strategy. That's what we said, and putting money into it means that you are aware of this direction. So that's what you do with an annual plan. But since there is no real direction coming from this research policy, which is a draft version. Which should be translated into a strategy, and then of course we can see where we have to put our money, how much budget we need, and my main concern is indeed that putting away this 2.5 million eats a lot of the strategic budget, and the reflex of the executive board will be, after completing the discussion on 2030 and the research policy, that we need some extra stimulation budget at the central level. And you already mentioned that you want to spend the reserves for that. Yeah. And we think this is not always a good idea. So on forehand, spending the money, which is in the strategic budget, completely without any delay, then of course you will ask for extra money to be paid from the central budget or from the reserves. So then we think this is not a good idea, where we have time to wait and see what the outcome is of the strategic discussion.
Well, that's completely in contradictory to your pleas before, that we should invest in capacity within this university to make sure that we can take care of work pressure related issues.
Yeah.
There is money available. I think we do have a very balanced financial policy. This university does have the financial means to make investments right now, and I think the worst thing you can do is prevent the faculties from taking big leaps in investing in capacity, because that's really not helping this university forward. And that's exactly what we're trying to do with this decision, which is a no-regret decision with respect to our research identity. The multidisciplinary focus of the university will be there in any research strategy for the coming years, and we need to invest in capacity, and the faculties do need a certain space to do so, and a certain financial stability over the years to do so. And I think we are perfectly, we are exactly right now in the position to make sure that we also use reserves within our financial framework. Of course, we're not going to take risks that we can't explain to the outside world, but we do have to invest in capacity right now. And that's exactly the thing that you have been asking us for 4 years. So
I'd like to be consistent. So what I said before is promising the faculties that they will get this budget only 25% next year, which makes that they cannot spend it fully next year, and they are very busy in implementing the sector plans, the first 45, so a bit of delay in spending the rest of it wouldn't harm them, I think. But they should know that they would get this budget, so we agree upon that. But then it's very wise to have a good discussion about our policy for the next 3-4 years and then spend it on the extra sector plan positions, because I think most of them will be within the sector plan. I think we agree upon that. But a part of it would be very linked to the goals of the 2030 shaping strategy. So then, what is the problem of taking a look at that this way? So the extra budgets are promised to the faculties, and during next year, 2020, we are going to decide how to spend it. And it can be spent for 5 years.
Well, that is what we are going to do, and that is what we are going to use the research strategy for. At the same time, I don't want to have any misinterpretation of the fact that multidisciplinarity is important for this university's research identity. So asking the faculties to take multidisciplinarity into account when fulfilling these positions, which have to contribute, of course, to the fundamentals of engineering, is not a strange question, I think, and it doesn't put any constraints on the faculties that they cannot deal with. It's just reaffirming the research identity. And I also don't see the difficulties for the faculties that are raised when making this statement about our research identity right now, because I think that is important. And then I come back to your first point. Neither the university board nor the university council has been in its normal position when these sector plans were decided upon. This is what when we are in position, what we need to do is allocating this, relating the allocation of this money to the university's policy and the university's identity. And with this 30% extra money, we are exactly doing that, and also trying to connect the sector plans to the university policy as a whole. So I don't see a problem in using this condition, because it doesn't cause actual problems, and I think it just makes clear what the research identity of this university as a whole is about.
Are you going to withdraw the budget if you think the collaboration condition is not fulfilled? And how are you going to check that? Because, as you know, the sector plans were made up for the 60 positions, including the 30%.
That's not the way that we are governing this university, Dick. We are trying to stimulate and facilitate and inspire the faculties with the identity of the university as a whole. And that's what we are doing here. And we're not going to design a specific control process to make sure that we define any cutbacks or whatever if they do not meet these requirements.
It's just a condition on paper.
I have another speaker, Jelle.
I'd like to have a counter voice. I have a lot of discussions within the faculty, also with the faculty dean, and there the desire is clear that they want cross-domain collaboration to happen as well. So a condition like this is not per se something that faculty would object against. So I think it is not a bad idea to keep in mind what does the whole organization want. Is the condition that fits within what is happening on the work floor already or not? That being said, I think if we are investing lots of money into people, into research domains, and we have a current vision, it is also an opportunity, especially with the tremendous growth that we're seeing, to really look at what do we want to be as an organization in 15 or 20 years. So what is the focus? And with that, the whole research vision that we have been discussing in the past becomes very important. What direction do we really see in the domains? And not just how do we work, but also on which things do we work? And I think that there, we have the vision now, the research strategy is still coming, and we're discussing where are we putting the money. It would be a shame to, in a year's time, when the research vision comes out, to look back and like, the investment we made, yes, we put the right conditions on it, but the content where it is spent actually doesn't fit the new vision that we have for the university. So that is a step of caution that I would like to give the board. Really, we have a chance to reinvent ourselves if we need to. But let's think about this properly, how we spend it.
Well, that's why we share the importance of the research strategy, where this should be, direction should come from that specific document. And I think we fully agree on your observation.
But then the question is, what is the result from this? We are in a very different situation from probably the last few decades, in that we have a tremendous question how to fulfill positions. So we certainly in a situation in which we could afford to say, well, let's put a little bit of money, let's put it both, let's not distribute yet, and let's think about how can we effectively create this to align with the strategy that we're going to develop. So, and then the question for the board would be, like, we already have a lot of questions to the faculty to fill positions. Would it hard to say, well, let's keep this for a few months in the pocket, because the strategy is developed, and within a few months the strategy will be there, and that we can fully base, say, this is indeed where we have the money, and this is at least certainly the starting money for that, and everything that we can add to that would help. But at least we have the, we put this money there with the right conditions, without having at this moment. Because at this moment, I think we are like from, oh, there's already a lot of money, let's throw a little bit more money on it. So, I know this is a very, a little bit harsh saying in this way, but I think we can afford ourselves to have a little bit faith, because we already have to get a lot of people hired.
Let me also emphasize that the research strategy goes over the entire research budget. It is not about the half million, 2 million that we are discussing here. It's about the entire research budget. I would like to avoid the impression that we are going to make a research strategy that says how we are going to spend this particular budget. I mean, this is something that we will certainly not do. What the research strategy will say is which areas we will invest in, and the reasoning for this. I mean, this is what is going to happen. My estimation is that the dynamics that we have within a research university is such that you can align also once you have hired these positions. I mean, it's not something that we are doing here for the short haul. We're in it for the long haul. It's a long-term strategy, and I think that the hiring policy at this point is quite generic, and these new positions can also accommodate the dynamics that we will have in the research strategy for the university.
At the same time, the moment you say that, we're going to go to a transition, and transition usually means you need a little bit of money to facilitate this transition.
Yep.
And so my suggestion would then be to use this to facilitate this transition.
Yeah, I'd like to respond to hiring quite generically. One could also imagine, I look at a visit taking place, I think, on Friday to the University of Münster, there's a lot of collaboration there with battery research, that you say, as a University of Twente, we decide we want to be a front runner on battery research. So all the hiring that we're going to do is going to be experts in battery technology, in nanotechnology for materials, in storage capacity, those sort of things. By now hiring all sorts of people across the board and basically beefing up capacity in all different domains, you take away the opportunity that you have, if you're going to hire 20% new staff, to say we are going to pay a specific focus, or am I missing something there?
What you miss is that these are budgets associated with the sector plans. Mm-hmm. So they are associated with the plans in the sector plan agreements.
It also has to do with hiring strategy, because if you choose a very narrow focus when you approach the market, so to speak, then it's quite difficult to find people for the positions. So the strategy is we have to start recruiting based on more generic profiles to make sure that we have enough people interested so we can make the match that is required and that comes down to specific areas. But you shouldn't start with recruiting on the specific areas, because then you probably will miss a certain part of scientists that actually very well fit the profile that we have in mind. So it's more about recruitment strategy than actually going to hire people with generic profiles. That's what it is about. The other thing is, we do have enough money to invest after we allocated this budget. That is my point. And I think we are in the position that we should do that. This is money that actually enhances the focus on engineering, the recognition of the importance of investing in the fundamentals of engineering, which is very important for this university. So this, from our point of view, would be a no-regret financial decision. There still is money left to further invest in the profile of the university, which of course should be directed by a firm research strategy. This is a no-regret decision, and we think it's a very responsible one.
Okay. Yeah. I think the director made a good point by pointing out that there is a very large research budget, and the 2.5 million is a small part of it, but this research budget is distributed for for stability. So 2.5 million are really meant for stimulating some developments that you want to take place within your new strategy. So then giving as a reason that you want to stimulate stability within the faculties is a bit strange if you use the central steering budget for that.
Okay. I would like to close this point because I don't think we came to a conclusion yet. So I will also park this together with point two.
Yeah, it's always with my points, yeah?
Always part. Yes.
I've got a big parking lot.
That's why I come to point. I come to point six. I'm not going to give you the words. So
okay, you don't want to park.
Yes. Thank you. For point six, regarding the Van Rijn money, the minister required us to put in some sector plans in education. However, this is in the quite the near future that these plans have to be finished, but the implications of this plan are quite large. There's the question, how will participating bodies be involved in development and finalization of these plans?
Yeah. The development of the sector plan is being discussed continuously with the ministry, and the actual contours of this and also the reach of the plans is something that's still under debate. So the extent to which also individual universities have to give their own vision in terms of this larger sector plan of education remains to be seen. So I think it is appropriate that for the sector plan there will be various measures that will be taken, and the measures, outlines of them are being shown in the sector plan, but the actual implementation of this within the university is something that you will see becoming, and we have the regular processes for this, for the that the university council can see how this is being implemented.
Okay, so once a more clear visualization of what the plans will hold, then we'll see in how far the participating bodies will have to be involved in this.
Correct.
What is the time schedule for that?
Also, that is something that is under discussion with the ministry. So the discussion, there is actually one discussion, I think, on Friday with the ministry, and at that point also further discussions will be made. The plan is to do this as quickly as possible, so we hope that we have an initial draft for the ministry early next year. This will be a draft, and then it will be also in discussion with the minister to see if this fulfills her ideas.
Okay. Clear what she wants.
I cannot speak for the minister.
it is the impression, because of the procedure handling, there is not completely clear what guidelines the ministry has for this, and that the guidelines might develop.
You can say that there are some new insights also with the ministry. If you look at the new vision for research education from the ministry of 2 weeks ago, you see that also there the vision on study success changing into student success.
Yep.
These are slowly changing pathways, and this all will be taken into account.
Okay.
I got a question?
Yeah.
I think we have to account for what we did with the Van Rijn Middel, part of this sector plan education.
Yeah.
Now, if my faculty, EEMCS, AV, spends it on PhD, first money stream PhD positions, would that be acceptable? Because that's what is in the budget now.
The budget of the Van Rijn Middelen has various portions, and most of the emphasis is to have increased capacity for student enrollment and student student success. These are the main elements of the Van Rijn Middelen. To know how the faculty deals with that is something that I have to look into in more detail then.
But I think PhD positions are not in line with those goals. Eh?
No, but they might contribute to the fact that there is capacity available at other parts. So the intention of the sector plan education is to not let this evolve into a plan that's going to predict us on which type of activities we should spend our money, because we would like to leave this autonomy within the faculties. That's what we're trying to establish with this sector plan education. And this type of discussion is a discussion that you should have as a faculty council with your faculty board, I think.
Yeah, but in the end, of course, the board is responsible for spending the money correctly.
Yeah, but we do not want to get into the autonomy of the faculty in this point, and that's also what we're trying to reach agreement upon with the ministry.
Yeah.
We're trying to make sure that we contribute to performance that is relevant for the university as a whole and for the sector as a whole, without all this control type of activities to specifically determine which faculty should do what, because that's what the faculty board and the faculty council is for.
At the same time, I expect that there will be some guidelines, because it's called a sector plan education, that it should benefit education.
course.
Yeah. So okay. A commitment has been written down to involve participating bodies in development of the sex plan education. Is that something the board could commit to?
No.
No.
No, not in this, not with this formulation.
Okay.
Because the sector plan education is being established with the ministry, and that will be in line with, for example, the principles in our budget,
yeah,
in our spring memorandum,
yeah,
in our long-term strategic,
yeah,
housing plan.
Yeah.
The translation of this sector plan education to the University of Twente, because this is a sector plan education,
yeah,
for the sector as a whole, that will be, of course, part of our regular system with a specific role for participation bodies. So I'd say the translation of the sector plan education to the University of Twente.
And that's then the sector plan education for the ministry.
Mm-hmm.
That's then the sector plan education for the ministry.
Yes, the sector plan education that the VSNU is going to formulate together with the ministry.
Okay, yeah.
And there's no participation bodies are not involved there.
Okay.
Then, of course, the sector plan should be in line with the policy of the university,
yeah,
and the starting points of the university, which is the case.
Mm-hmm.
Translating this in specific actions within the different university, of course, is will be part of the conversations we have. And of course, that's what we, I'm not sure if you did mention it before, what we talked about before, you will get a sector plan education for information. Of course, we will share the information with you, but it can't be part of the, and it doesn't have to be part of the decision-making process, I think, within the university, because it's in line with the things that we already agreed upon. There are no things in there. Well, maybe that's an important thing to mention as well. This sector plan education is also a type of, how do you say it, influencing document.
Mm-hmm.
So what we would like to do in this sector plan education is create space to further develop education and to, for example, start new programs in the bachelor or in the master. That doesn't make, that doesn't mean that we commit ourselves to actually doing so. This commitment has to take place within the university, where checks and balances have to be in order. These are decisions we take together with the university council and together with the faculty councils. But we will, in this sector plan education, we need to take position in what we think might be wanted for the coming years in the market. So and that's very
I'm thinking how this could be summarized in one sentence.
Okay.
Do you have a suggestion for that?
Yeah, but I think the suggestion she had is to translate it into the, well, to well, the participation should be involved in translating the sector plan to plans within the within the university.
Yeah.
That's what you said. Well, I agree upon that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That could be a good formulation.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so then we have four, I think, four of the items. That's number one, three, four, and six. We have formulations, which I think the board has said this is the way it should be formulated. Well, actually, number four was a suggestion we picked up. We have to
see where go down.
You have to go a little bit down on the on that one, yeah. Did you already put it inside in number six? Or? How is it connected? Simply. So, I don't have.
Is it pop or so?
I think so.
In Paris.
Yeah. So, could you reserve a little bit of money in the budget for?
Yeah. This is modern
number seven.
this model technique is sensitive.
I already sent a picture of unfinished painting on a certain wall in this building this morning, so I'm not going to send another one of this screen that needs to be fixed.
Okay, what I would like to do at this point, we're going to change the numbers that I mentioned. Points 2 and 5, we have to see what has to be done. So for that, I would like to have a small session, give you the ability to have a cup of coffee, but especially think about how points 2 and 5 want to proceed with that. Yeah? So a small recession for that.